From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
We bless people by what we say in this life. We bless people by the things that come out of our mouths and out of our lives. There is power, my friend, in the words that you speak on a daily basis. There is power in what you say, whether it is for the negative and the destruction of people's lives or for the edification and the building up of people's lives.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Notice this is the call of Abram. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now what really has struck me this week, in chapter 12, verse 2, is the statement that he said to Abram. He said, listen, you will be a blessing. You'll be a blessing. The people you come in contact with will be blessed by me because of you. And the question that I want to ask you, and the thing that I want to challenge you to, is that the scripture says that we are children of Abraham and that we have the blessing of Abraham. And the statement from scripture is that believers are to be blessings to people that they come in contact with. And the question that I want to ask, are you a blessing to your family, to your friends, to your spouse, to your parents? Are you a blessing to friends, to the community, to the lost? Are you a blessing even to your enemy? We are called to be a blessing. We are called to bless people with our lives. Question I want to ask is, Lord, how do I be a blessing every single day of my life? How do I be a blessing? How do I bless people from your heavenly throne flowing through my life to other people? And what I want to suggest to you this morning and where I want to go with this today is that we bless people by what we say in this life. We bless people by the things that come out of our mouths and out of our lives. There is power, my friend, in the words that you speak on a daily basis. There is power in what you say, whether it is for the negative and the destruction of people's lives or for the edification and the building up of people's lives. And I want to just say this. You are either a person that will edify people or you're a person that will tear people down by the words that you say. We see this laced through Scripture. We see the power of the Word all through Scripture. Now, a couple of series ago, we talked about the Word of God. And we saw a lot of great things in that series about God's Word and what it does. I want to remind you of some of those things that we talked about, some of these things, by frankly, that we didn't talk about. The first thing that I want you to notice is that God's Word creates. God's Word creates. Matter of fact, Paul is talking about Abram in Romans chapter 4. I'm going to turn there just real briefly. Romans chapter 4. We look at the faith of Abraham about how in the world will God make him a blessing. And in the context of the promise was that Abraham would have a son. And then Abraham would have descendants that would come from his loins. The problem is Abram is 75 years old when God starts speaking to him. And when he starts speaking to him, he doesn't have a child. And so God's telling him, you're going to be a blessing. Your children are going to be a blessing. Your descendants are going to be a blessing. And so Scripture says in verse 16, it's by faith. What's by faith? Salvation is by faith. That it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the seed of Abraham, not only of those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, and here it is, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Our God creates out of nothing, folks. Nothing. When he created the world, There was not even darkness, folks. There was nothing at all. And in one word, God would say, let there be light. And when you look at creation and you see the power of God's spoken word, you will see over and over from creation until the end of time that He is a God who calls into being the things that do not exist at all. Folks, there are some of you here today that have wonderful marriages, but one day they didn't exist until God came along and said, listen, I want you out of the pit of destruction in this marriage, and I'm going to call into being that which is not right now, and I'm going to resurrect your marriage so that it might come to life right now. Listen, some of you have experienced that. You've experienced it after years of hopelessness and misery. One day God came along and He spoke His word and He created something so wonderful, something so great that it still just blows you away. You look at how God has changed our lives. If we are walking in faith, if we're walking in the Spirit, folks, one day we weren't and we were nothing in God's sight because of our sinfulness and their darkness. But one day He comes along and He speaks the word and He creates life in us and He infuses His life in our hearts and our spirits. This power of the spoken word, of God's word, is so real that it will create in your life that which does not exist right now. How many of you are dying financially? How many of you are dying spiritually, emotionally? I want to tell you, we have a God with one spoken word that you can come to life in a moment. In a moment, folks. He's the God who creates. The power of God's word, it creates. Scripture says it cleanses. When God speaks, He'll wash you. You may be dirty today, folks. You might have lived in gross sin last night. But our God in one word will come along and sanctify you and set you apart for His word and for His glory and His life. He cleanses, Ephesians 5:26, through His word, that He might sanctify her. That's the church. That's you and that's me. That by having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, the power of God's word corrects us. Folks, a lot of us walk in this life, we get our head beat in until one day the word comes along and corrects us. And guess what? You don't get to get your head beat in anymore. Isn't that just good news? This good news is that He comes and He corrects us. And He gives it by the spoken, powerful word of His lips and His life through the written word, where He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for teaching you, for reproving you, for correcting you, for training you in righteousness. The word of God is so powerful that it'll direct your path. It'll direct your life. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then, folks, the word will sustain you through every dark hour, through every hunger spell that you go through for the things of God. Because it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but we live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word is powerful, folks. His word is powerful. And I want to ask you, are these things happening in your life today? Are they happening in your life? Because not only is the word of God powerful, but I want to tell you, your word is also powerful. Your word is significant. It has significance of what you say, whether evil or whether good. Now, when you look at all these things of God says that He does in our lives through the power of His word, and you don't see it happen in your life, do you know what your problem is? Do you know what my problem is? We don't believe it. We don't embrace it by faith. We walk in doubt. We walk in unbelief. We walk in fear and worry and anxiety. And we wonder, why isn't God creating something in my life that is good and profitable and eternal? Why is that I'm not seeing the cleansing from my sin and I'm still walking in darkness? Why am I still doing the same things I've been doing? Why am I not been directed in the right way? Why is there always this thing in my life that I just never can get sustained by God? What is it? It's a lack of faith. You look at it in Hebrews chapter 4. Just do that real briefly. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Notice what he says. Let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they did also. They had good news preached to them. They had the word given to them. They had every opportunity to walk in the things of the Spirit of God, to see the creation of God in their lives, to see cleansing and correction and direction and sustaining power. But the Scripture says that the word they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Well, I believe that God's word is so powerful that it'll change my circumstances in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Will I believe that today? No matter how miserable I am in my sin, no matter how miserable I am in my finances and all these other things, will I just simply believe the word that God is powerful enough just to speak it into existence? He gives life to the dead, folks, and brings into being, causes that to live, which does not exist right now in your life. There is absolute total hope for every one of us. And are we living that? There is power in God's word. And if you have the word of God in your life, then I want to tell you that you have a significant and powerful opportunity to see life change take place in other people's lives as you speak the blessing of God's word in their lives. You are called for a blessing, folks. You are called to be a blessing because of the power that's in you through the Spirit of God to speak that which is good and right and that changes people's lives. There is significance in your word. Not only is there power in God's word, there's significance in the words that you speak on a daily basis. Turn to James chapter 3, if you would. James chapter 3, verse 1. Notice what he says in verse 1. James 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. Now, let me just say this. He's not just talking about Sunday school teachers, folks. He's talking about college professors. He's talking about high school teachers. Let me tell you, everything that you say and everything that you teach, you're going to give account for. And that's why it's so important that if you're a science teacher, if you're an English teacher, if you're a history teacher, you need to make sure that what you're teaching lines up to the Word of God. Because you know what? We incur a stricter judgment. You know, folks, as parents, and we get into the teaching role, do you know what? You become a teacher to your children, and you incur a stricter judgment for the things that you say and the things that you do in their lives. And so it's very important. When what he's saying is listen, there is a great accountability when we teach and when we share, not maybe in a group setting, but even individually. Verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, ships also, though they're so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. Your tongue, your mouth, what you say, it wields great power today. It has such great power to influence for the good or for the bad. Scripture says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Notice what James says the tongue looks like. He uses three metaphors. He uses a bit that's placed in a horse's mouth so that you can direct that horse's direction wherever you want to go. He says you control the whole body of the horse. We look at the rudder, small, but yet can give direction. And then he uses another metaphor. He used the metaphor of fire. He says, behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a fire. Now, folks, when he's talking about a forest fire getting started by just one strike, right? I mean, it can start with just one strike of a match, one spark that flies, and that whole thing can be engulfed. And what he's talking about, folks, is that your tongue, your word, it has so much power and influence that it'll be used to direct people's lives or to destroy people's lives. And I want to tell you, you're either a blessing or you're a curse to other people by what you say and what you do in this life. And I want to challenge you today as we move into this message. The challenge is, if your words are so powerful, don't you think it's time that we start speaking blessing instead of negative curses, of grumbling and murmuring and complaining, folks? Don't you think it's time? Folks, if we have such great power, and there's such great power in the tongue, if there's death and there's life in this tongue, folks, we have a great opportunity today to speak blessing on people's lives. Your word wields power and influence, and then your word will direct the course of lives. It'll direct your own life, and the lives of others, and you'll be either a blessing or a curse. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, if you would. Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus has spoken a parable about eating food with unclean hands. And the Scripture says, verse 17, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And those," here it is, "they defile the man." They direct the course of a man. They defile him. And so he says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man." When you get defiled, folks, by the things that come out of your mouth, you're not only defiling yourself, but you're defiling the other people around you by what you say, by what you speak. But also, the great principle is that there is also the good things that are to come out of our lives that edify and direct people's lives in positive ways, that edify them, that build them up, and that changes the course of their lives. The question that I got to ask is, no, am I this blessing or am I a curse? Do I speak the things that destroy people's lives, that discourage people's lives? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, the Lord says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, actually 21, "You've heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." Now watch this. "Whoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,'" Raca, what is that? What does raca mean? It means, "You empty head. You knucklehead." Have you ever heard that? Hey, folks, there are people that have been called knuckleheads all their lives by their daddy, by people in authority. Folks, that destroys. That destroys. There's some of you here that still hurt over that. He says, listen, it is so serious. It affects people's lives in the kingdom that just to say raca to your brother, you're guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, "You fool," shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. How many times have we been guilty of this? Folks, the things we say to others and about others, they destroy. You know, we've heard of people growing up and just saying, "All my life, my dad said I was no good. No good. That I'd never amount to anything." Some people say, "All my life I've heard, 'You just can't get it, can you? You'll never get it.'" The negative expectations and then the comparisons. "Why can't you be like so and so?" Folks, we've got to stop that kind of talk. We've got to stop that kind of negative stuff that comes out of our lives and mouths that are just flat out from the enemy. And I say it again, the complaining and the murmuring about circumstances and about people and about our marriage and about all these other things that come out of our lives. And instead, we should be speaking the blessing of God upon people. We should be directing the course of their lives in every area when we come in contact with them. Listen, when people come your way, they're participating in your fruit. Did you know that? Whether it's good or bad. It's just like you come right up to that person, you take a piece of fruit off their life, and you just go right into it. And you know what? It may be fresh, it may be nice, it might be great, or it just might be something like this. I mean, when folks move on their lands, this is one of the first things they do. They plant fruit trees so they can enjoy the fruit for years to come. What happens when I go to a fruit tree and I pick something that's rotten and I don't realize that I put it in my mouth? Man, spit it out and don't put it back in my mouth again. What happens when somebody comes to my life in a season of my life where I'm negative and I'm rotten about things and somebody comes and partakes of my fruit? What do? They want to spit me out, folks. I don't want anything of that anymore. How many times have you been that person that says, "Oh, Lord, here he comes." Huh? Here he comes with all the negative things that comes out of his life. Folks, we need to be like this here, where we are blessing people with our lips and with our mouths and with the lifestyle of Christ. Folks, I can look past my life and I can see significant things that were said to me that changed my life. I find myself looking back over my life, remembering coming home to a demolished house after a hurricane and bursting out in tears as a five-year-old. And my mother saying, "Mikey, you can't call me that, okay?" All right. it's going to be okay. And within 3-4 minutes, we're on the rubble building forts. I can't tell you how much that shaped my life as a pastor. To know as a 5-year-old and to remember that, and for God to infuse in my life the sovereign work of God that says if He's at work, it's going to be okay. And how many countless men and women who have sat in my study in desperate straits and to be able to say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. And for them to believe that, it has shaped my life as a 5-year-old, folks. A 5-year-old remembering the word of my mother that had such great impact in my life. She could have been negative. She could have been crying. She could have been weeping. She could have been angry of coming back to a destroyed house. But no, the minute we drive up, it's going to be okay. It shaped my life, folks. To be able to come to the point to see that God is at work. He is at work. Since 7th grade, and I had somebody talking behind my back, and they didn't know. Well, what happened was I was at a retreat. And I was a junior high kid, and there were high school kids in there, and there was one guy named Brian in there, older guy. And they asked me a question. And I don't know why I did this, but I played possum and just played like I was sleeping. And someone said, well, he's sleeping. And this older guy, this is what he said behind my back. He's such a great guy. You know what, folks? You know, I'm just telling you. Words that come out of our lives wield great influence. They wield great influence. When you're speaking to them or you're speaking about them, we need to make the commitment that we're going to be blessings and not curses. That we're going to speak the life and the love of Christ so that we are speaking peace and truth and we're speaking Jesus into their lives. Because folks, you and I know that we spend enough time of our lives putting that kind of stuff in other people's lives. By the things we've said through the years about the people that we're to love the most. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's time to change. It's time to change. If I'm living in this and walking in this and spewing this out of my life, then we have a God who says, listen, I want to change your heart. You know what? It's not like God wants to clean your mouth up, folks. Because back in James, go on and turn there for just a moment again. Back in James, God doesn't clean the tongue up. You know what? He said, you got to clean your mouth. I'm going to wash it out with soap. I'm going to tell you, that never worked, did it? Never worked. I'm going to try to clean up my mouth. Listen, folks, God has to clean up your heart because your mouth is going to speak that which fills the heart. That's what's going to happen. And he says, listen, you can't tame the tongue. Verse 7, every species of beasts, of birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, it's tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. With it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send forth out the same opening fresh and bitter water? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? No. Can a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. We need a heart change. We need a heart change. Scripture says, listen, your words are so powerful. They're so influential that, folks, it'll wield the power influence. It will direct the course of lives. And you know what else it'll do? It'll reflect your character. It'll show you what's in your heart. Scripture says that you will be justified by the words that you speak out of your mouth. When you speak out of your mouth, it'll be justification of who you are, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Your words reveal who you are. Your actions reveal who you are as a believer or as a non-believer. And the question I want to ask is, do we want to be a people that speak the joy and the life of God, or do we want to speak the things that our nature wants to speak? How do we become the blessing? How do we let our words bless? And I'm just going to give you 5 things, and we're going to close with this. Let God's word dwell within you. Colossians 3:16, let the words of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. What does he say? Get in the word, folks, and let his word just get all over you. Because if His Word is dwelling within you, when you get squeezed, when responses come out of your life, what's going to come out? The Word of God's going to come out of your life. We've got to get back to the Word, folks. That is where our standard is. It's not anything else in this world. Our view of the world is biblical, folks. It's biblical. And in that biblical view of the world, we let the Word of God dwell within us. And guess what? We'll walk this life. We'll sing the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. We'll sing with thankfulness in our hearts. We'll admonish one another, and that's encourage one another. We'll teach one another with all wisdom and insight. Folks, bottom line, you'll be a blessing. Then the second thing that I want to challenge you to let our words bless, is be quick to listen and slow to speak. How many times have you just blurted it out, jumped to a stinking conclusion that was all wrong, and you were angry and mad? He says, listen, you be quick to listen and you get slow to speak. James 1:19, you know this, he says. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I know this is trite. Two ears, one mouth, right? Heard it before. Folks, twice as much let us listen than what we speak. Listen. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Third thing, believe the potential of your speech. I mean, folks, I had a person in my life, and every time I saw her, she said, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. And you know what? She was always tired. I'm tired. And you know, bless her heart, I picked that up. And in my early 20s, I'd say, man, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. And I was always tired. And it was the first thought, I said, I got to change this thought. I got to change this thought in my life. I'm not tired. So I just changed the thought and said, how you doing, man? Doing good. You tired? No, I'm not tired anymore. Guess what? No, we're tired. You know, the things we say that we believe and we walk in. And folks, we got to stop it. We believe the potential of our speech and the words that we speak. Because if God's Word is powerful and it's living within us, and we know this through Scripture, then folks, I want to believe the potential of my speech. And then I want to do this. I want to choose my words wisely. And he says in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You know what that word unwholesome means? Rotten. There's some of you in here that have filthy mouths, folks. There's some of you high school students that think it's so cute to go into school and call somebody a name just to be funny. And I want to tell you, folks, that destroys. It doesn't build up. We've got to choose it wisely. It's amazing how we want to joke around with filthy words when the God says, you let no rotten word proceed from your mouth. But the word that I want, he says, to come out of your life is going to be good for edification, to build up, to bless according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. The fifth thing and final thing is, let's just choose to bless. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We'll begin in 8. To sum up, and that's what we're doing right now. We're summing up. Let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind heart. Hey, folks, look at those again. If I'm harmonious, am I going to speak curses? Are we going to speak unwholesome words? No. If I'm sympathetic, am I going to just walk in condemnation of people and speak a critical spirit coming off of my life of them? And you know what I think is a real danger too here is that we can be critical in a spiritual sense because we just know better. And they don't. And folks, if you're sympathetic and if you're brotherly and you're kind-hearted and you're humble in spirit, then listen, folks, you'll never return evil for evil or insult for insult. But you know what you'll do? You'll give a blessing instead. Why? Because you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Folks, you speak a blessing on people, the blessing comes back. You speak a seed of blessing, it comes fourfold, fivefold, thirtyfold, hundredfold. You plant the seed of God, the Word of God, in people's lives. Folks, it's time to stop grumbling, complaining, and murmuring if you're doing that. It is time to begin to bless with your mouth.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.